working on this sugya of mitzvahs, our kesher to the mitzvahs, the tayag mitzvahs, in order to be makabel the Torah karoi. Last week we talked about nasa v'nishma, and this week it's a tease. We can't go into lag ba'omer, rabosai, mamish entering the yontif of Rav Shimon without discussing what lag ba'omer is. A lot of people think lag ba'omer is another form of Woodstock, and it comes from the inability to really understand what Kedusha is. So we're going to try to understand a little bit about mitzvahs from the Lag BaOmer perspective. You guys still have a chance to go to the mikveh before the shmuz. Could wait about 2 minutes. It's kedai. We're going to be going into very, very deep territory because we're entering a very, very deep day. And Baruch Hashem, in our yeshiva, no one's going to run around on Lag BaOmer like a fool. Everyone's going to know exactly why there's a fire. Everywhere you go, there are fires. I remember I've been cooped up in my house because of my asthma for years. Many times my house almost went on fire. Many times. So I was davening Shmona Esther B'Yechidus because my asthma, this whole story. And I heard crackling. It sounded like Rice Krispies and milk. I never heard a blaze. There's fire everywhere. And we're going to try to understand, Bezuz Hashem, what exactly this fire is. The truth is, there's only one sugya in Sfiras HaOmer. We know about Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, that they were wiped out because Lo Nagu Kavod Zelzeh. And then all of a sudden we come to Lag BaOmer and we think about Rabbi Shimon. It's all the same sugya, Rabbi Isai. The entire sugya is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had Talmidim originally, 24,000 Talmidim that were wiped out. Rabbi Akiva started up again with his Talmidim that were all part of the Talmud, of the Mishnayos that we know of, all of the major players that built Torah Shebaal Peh. And one of them was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who had a very unique part in bringing Rabbi Akiva's Torah from point A all the way down till Yemais HaMashiach. And Lag BaOmer is an understanding of how Rabbi Akiva's Torah traveled from total decimation of 24,000 Talmidim to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the secrets of the Torah, the Zohar HaKadosh, and all of the great Giluyim that this represents. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says this himself. He says, why should you spend time with me? Why should you spend time with me? He doesn't say because, you know, he starts singing Bar Yochai. That's not what he sings. He sings Ashrechem Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva. This was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's world, was Amar Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach Zayin. V'chein Amar Rabbi Shimon l'talmidav bonai, shenu mi doisai, learn me up. Learn every aspect of my existence, of all of my Torah. Because I'm the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop, the most worked out in the shitas of Rabbi Akiva, my Rebbe. That was what Rabbi Shimon held was him. That was his license to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was his attachment to Rabbi Akiva. So we have to try to understand Rabbi Akiva, and through that we'll get a glimpse in who Rabbi Shimon was, and through that we'll understand what this amazing day is called Lag BaOmer. The Gemara in Menachos. This is a very controversial Gemara, not because it's controversial to Ravina and Ravashi who put it in, but it's extremely hard to understand this Gemara, and we have to exercise caution in going into this Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, Amarah, Bishah Sha'ala Moshe Lamarim, Matzai LaHakadosh Baruch Hu SheYoshev VeKosher Ksar. Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim and he sees Hashem is making crowns on the letters of the Torah. All these different crowns, the tagim they call them, on the letters. V'koshir k'sarim le'osis amr lefanav. Moshe said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, mi ma'akev al yadcha. What do you need these for? Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what these were for, but he understood they would be for something, because if Hashem does something, there's for a reason. But Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at these things and not understanding what they are. Said, who is forcing you to write these little crowns on the letters? Amar loy, Adam echad yesha asid liyos b'soif kamadoris. There's going to be someone in many generations. Va'akiva ben Yosef Shemoy. His name is Akiva ben Yosef. She'osin lidre shall kol koitz v'koitz tilin shel halachas. He's going to darshan on every one of these crowns halachas. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, as only Moshe could request, Haruli, show me. And he brought him to the shir of Rabbi Akiva. And strangely enough, Moshe Rabbeinu tashash koichai. He wasn't able to understand the shir. He was sitting 8 rows back, like a commoner, right? Under disguise, imagine what was going on shir. No one knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was there. He didn't understand a word that was going on. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mekabel Torah. It's apikorsus to say that any part of Torah is not Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in shir and did not know what was going on? Until finally, a Talmud asked, Rebbe, where'd you get this from? He says, this is a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, calm down. What's going on over here? What's going on over here is the building of Pnimius HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. We've been talking, last week we spoke about it, that the idea of a crown, right? A king wears a crown on top of his head to show that there's something above him, something even above his seichel. Klal Yisrael, when they said Nasav and Ishma, they subordinated themselves to the Borei Olam and said, there's more than my das, they got a crown on their head to express that there's something more. There's another type of crown, guys. Another type of crown. We know how to read words, right? Because we are simple people. We read words. But somebody might think that that's all the Torah is. It's just words. It's just words. And there's nothing above what my brain can understand. I learned how to read in Cheder. And since then, I can understand everything in the Torah. Guess what? No! The Torah only starts with words, but there's a crown on top of these words. There's something that's way above that can't be explained to a normal person, to even a great man. There's something above the words of the Torah. There are secrets. They're totally inaccessible. They're not even in words. And says the Maharal, an amazing thing, in Tiferes Yisrael, Samech Gimel, Perek Samech Gimel, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu's whole Torah that he gave Klal Yisrael the entire Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu was with the words. That was how he was with the people. He was down here with us, with the words. And he says he was so down to earth that he was able to fight battles against Sichon and Amori, all the big kings. He was able to strategize and fight and guide. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was also in Shemayim, but he was down here. But says the Maharal, the most peculiar thing, and I'm jealous of you that you're hearing this at such a young age, because it took me a long time to really understand this Maharal. A long, long time. Siyata Dishmaya. Says the Maharal, he says, Rabbi Akiva was not in Olam Hazeh at all. Rabbi Akiva wasn't here at all. And he says, that's why he understood these crowns. Because someone who's down here has to read words. Rabbi Akiva wasn't living down here, Bechlal. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, he was in the Shemayim, as we know, but he was also down here. And if you're upstairs and downstairs, you have to be able to read words. You have to understand words. But he says, Rabbi Akiva was in a different stratosphere. He was somewhere else. He was living, in the Lashon of the Maharal, in Olam Haba. He was here, but he was in Olam Haba. And this struck a chord with me, and B'siyata D'Shemaya, I would like to try to understand what it means that Rabbi Akiva was living in Yenevelt, and what it means for us with Rabbi Shimon. What do we know about Rabbi Akiva? What do we know about Rabbi Akiva? Let's start with the Gemara Brachas at the end of his life. Rabbi Akiva was being tortured. Masreka Shel Barzel. He was dying al pi kiddush Hashem. And the Talmidim said, Ad Khan. The Gemara in Brachas Samach Aleph. Amar lem kol yamai hayisi mitzdar al pasuk zeh. Don't worry about me. You guys are worried about me? Don't be worried about me. I was bothered my whole life. Kol yamai hayisi mitzdar. Mitzdar means he was really pained. Not just like, you know, when there's a fly buzzing in your face. When Rabbi Akiva says he was mitzdar, it means it was driving him mad. I was being driven mad. It says in the pasuk, Bechol nafshecha, afilu notos nishmascha, I have to be ready to give up my life for Hashem. Amarti masa yavali yadim v'chamenu. When am I going to get a chance to do this? Va'achshav shebali yadi loy kemenu. Now this is my big break. It's my big break. What's so special about this? I'll tell you what I think is special about this. Of course there are people who are mechavev mitzvos. Of course there are people who want to do Kiddush Hashem. But I'll tell you what goes through my head if I think about Kiddush Hashem. I first want to finish Shas. I first want to make a lot of achievement. Then, when it's time, I don't know what to discuss. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Give me a lulav to shake. That's a mitzvah. Give me tzedakah. But don't give me a mitzvah that makes me exit. Rabbi Akiva said, and let's figure out his life. 40 years, first 40 years, not too much happening with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Kol Yama. I don't know when this Kol Yama started. Maybe it started at 40. I don't know. But at that point, I would think he's that go-getter who wants to conquer Shas and Poskim and want to lead 24,000 Talmidim. If I was saying Kriya Shema when I was Rabbi Akiva, I'd say, Hashem, let me leave this world up in Kiddush Hashem after I'm the Gadol Hadar. He says, I want to leave now. Every day I wanted to get out of here. You know what this means? Rabbi Akiva was banging on the doors of Gan Eden his entire life, saying, let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. He was banging on those doors. He was shaved to a different place. Such as that he wanted mitzvahs. He was davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can't be toifes, a way that we can't understand. And Rabbi Akiva did an expedition. He did the most dangerous expedition that's ever been done. People have gone very deep under the sea and dealt with all the water pressure. People have taken rockets and people have gone to the moon. People want to go to Mars and Saturn and all these things. Rabbi Akiva did the most dangerous thing. He's the only one who made it out alive. The Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yudale. Tana Rabbanan. Arba nichnasu bepardes. There were four people who entered this great place called Pardes, a place of great understanding of Torah, another world. Pardes sometimes stands for Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid, an entering to all the secrets of creation, but you have to travel there. You don't just learn, you learn and travel. That's how it goes, because the neshama can't understand it down here. You have to travel to get there. If it's just words, so then you can understand it at your stender. But if it's something that's above words, you have to travel, Rabosai. Four people traveled. Big men, Malachi Hashem Tzavakas, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Rabbi Akiva, and Acher, Elisha Ben Avuya. What happened over here? Ben Azai was Hitzitz Umes. Ben Azai saw what was going on there, and he died. Says Rashi, Lo Yireni Adam V'chai. Rashi brings a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, if you see me, you die. That's the normal thing that happens when you go to parties. Because a human being can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't see so deep. If he does, the neshama leaves. Ben Azai was a tzaddik yisod olam. Ben Zayma, he was yatsa midaito. It's another form of death. Overload, right? A person starts whispering in the corner, way too much. High, high pressure. Doot, doot, doot. That's it. Out. Whenever a person is overloaded with stuff, they have a breakdown. What's called in the Sfar Makdoshim, Shviras HaKelim. It's another form of death. And that's a metzias of too much light. Whoosh! Too much light blinds a person, Rabosa. And that's exactly what happened. Nebuch, Rachman Otzan, Gedoyle Oilam. Acher, another form of death. He got up there, he totally misunderstood, he came out and out because no one made it out alive. Rabbi Akiva marched in there, and it was extremely dangerous. And he made it out alive. How'd that happen? Because he was a Ben Bias over there. This was the light that Rabbi Akiva was shayach to. It wasn't something new to him, it was something that he was comfortable with. This was his metzias. He was a Ben Olam Haba. He was someone above. He was being Dorish the Ksarim his whole life. He was banging on the doors of Gan Eden. And he came into parties. He had home court advantage. It was simply a place that he could survive. He was in and out with all the secrets in the belt. And now we come to something very strange, which bothered me for a long time. And I thank the Tzibur because the Siyata Deshmaya of preparing to speak to such a chashva olam ends up giving me things that would be beyond my capabilities. The Gemara in Makkos. This Gemara is often quoted, especially during summer's man when everyone's finishing Makkos. You can hear this over and over and over and over. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Akiva comes. All the G'dayle Eilam were there. Rabbi Leo, Rabbi Lazar Nazari, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Mahalchim Adar, Vashamu Kola, Mainishal Romi. All the marching of the Romans. What's Rabbi Akiva doing? He's Mesachik. Mesachik is not smiling, it's laughing. Not smiling, laughing. Everyone else is weeping. Not just weeping, it's live. Tisha B'Av live. Not now when I want to try to get a little hargusha of the Beis HaMikdash, a mashahu feeling. Live, we're here at Chorban Habayis. Everyone is ice, is out. Rabbi Akiva is laughing. So they say to him, why are you laughing? Right? So I would think Rabbi Akiva has a lot of explaining to do. Right? He goes, why are you crying? The flip game. Why are you crying? Wait, that's not the way we understand. What do you mean, why am I crying? Why are you laughing? No, why are you crying? Where Rabbi Akiva was, there was only laughter. And he says, if I see the kiyum of the nevuah of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, I know that there's going to be a kiyum of the binyan bayis shlishi. Can I ask you a question? Very nice. Why don't we adapt this approach? Let's all start laughing all the time. Right? Go to a Levi. Imagine you're sitting in a Levi. Everyone's crying. Heshis! And everyone's trying to take him out. No, you don't understand. Wait! Silence the whole Levi. Kam zulitova. It's for the best. You don't understand. Right? He kicks the masbid off. Kam zulitova. Right? What's wrong with that? I've never seen another guttle do that. It's more than inappropriate. It's disgusting. How in the world can Rabbi Akiva, Rachmana Litzlan, laugh during Chorban Habayis? And then Hashem put something in my head. Listen to this. You will kiss me. Please not now. But you will kiss me for this. It says in Koheles Paragimel, Lakol, and I hope you know this not just from songs. Lakol zman va'es lekol chefetz tacha shamayim. They don't put the lekol chefetz in because it doesn't fit with the song. Okay, so all the Amoratim who think it's lakol zman va'es tacha shamayim, we have to read the psukim too. We can't just sing songs. Okay? Lakol zman va'es lekol chefetz tacha shamayim. There's a time and place for everything. Says the Shlomo HaMelech, Chacham Mikol Adam, Eis livchois. There's a time to cry. Ve'es l'schaik. There's a time for laughter. What's the time to cry? Eis l'vchais b'tisha b'av. There's a time to cry at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When is it a time ve'es l'schaik? La'asid lava, you can laugh. Shenemar az yimale schaik pinu. Then there'll be a time to laugh. So now I can come more intelligent to Rabbi Akiva. I'm not just going to come and say, we don't just do that and laugh during Korban Habayis. I'm going to say, Shlomo HaMelech says, not like you. Shlomo HaMelech says there's a time and place for everything. And he says, you cry at Korban HaBayis, and you laugh la'asid lava. And you know what Rabbi Akiva could say back to me? Listen to this. He says, you didn't read the pasuk right. It says, la'kol zman va'es, l'kol chevet, tachas hashamayim. Under the sky, there's a time and place for everything. You're right. If you're living down here, you have to know exactly what's going on. There are times to laugh. There are times to cry. There are times to dance. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. Whatever. I don't want to get into the wrong business of singing the English song of this. But Rabosai, there's a time and place for everything is Tachas HaShemayim, is on planet Earth, in Olam Hazeh. Rabbi Akiva wasn't there. And all these Tanoim knew it. He was somewhere else during the Chorban. He wasn't just reading the Nevuas and saying, oh, I have a chap, Rabosai, Lefi, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's going to be rebuilt. No one needed Rabbi Akiva for that. They saw he was living somewhere else. And where he was living, there was laughter. And when they heard it, they got a nechama from somebody who could be living somewhere else. Somebody who could be so big and above all of these various things. How are we supposed to have a shaychus with such an olam habedik atayra? This is pnimiyas atayra, then there wouldn't be yeshivas ahava shalom. There wouldn't be the Baal Shem Tov. There wouldn't have been the Vilna Gaon, which are all built on pnimiyas of Tayra. If Moshe Rabbeinu did not stand a chance to understand this Tayra, if you have to be living in olam haba to understand this, how in the world How in the world is Klal Yisrael going to have any shaychus to the secrets of the Torah? Or, which is light, blazing light, is gematria raz, which is secrets. It's too bright. It's too bright. You go up there, you either lose your mind, you lose your life, you go off the derech, it's not worth it. Better to close up the books and never try. Who's going to bring things down? Who's going to bring things down? Let me share you a Yerushalmi that I was makabel a pshat from my Rebbeim, a pshat amiti in this Gemara, Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Akiva had these Talmidim, the second group of Talmidim, and Rabbi Meir was sitting in front as a sign that Rabbi Meir is on a higher level than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rav Shimon was hurt by it on some level of Ruchnius. He felt he should be in the front, above Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Akiva looked at him and said, no. Rabbi Akiva, dayecha, it should be enough for you. She'ani uboracha, I and your maker, yoydin es koychacha, know your strength. And Rabbi Shimon felt better. What's going on here? He wanted to sit in front, right? Rabbi Meir was above him, and then Rabbi Akiva whispered to him on the side, I know you have koychus. You know, he's giving him a shmuz, you have koychus. Me and Hashem, we know you have strengths. He said the following. Listen to this. Unbelievable. And we wouldn't say this on a regular day, but we've got to get Lag BaOmer Dick Rabosai. There's the only way we can come in front of those fires is to hear something like this. Rabbi Meir has an interesting name. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. What's his name? Rabbi Meir. What does the word Meir mean? Illumination. Too much light. Guess what? Chazal tell us that no one has ever yored l'soif daitel shel Rabbi Meir. No one ever understood Rabbi Meir, who was so big. The Nefesh HaChaim says in the Hakdama that Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw Rabbi Meir from the back because he couldn't be toy face his front. Some deep idea that no one understood the face even of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was like his Rebbe, he was a fire, he was a blaze. But he was so big, so he sat in the front. But we need a Rebbe who can bring things down to our level. And Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon, me and Hashem know you're Kayach. Rabbi Meir is going to be up there, but you're going to come down to these Dairis. The Zayir HaKadosh is the key for us leaving the goats. Rabbi Shimon is going to bring all this down, all of the beautiful things that we've received from him. Anyone who's opened up a Chassidish Sefer, anyone who's opened up a Gainan Mishle, anyone who's opened up a Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch is exposed to the Pnimius HaTorah, which was taken from Olam Haba and brought down by Rabbi Shimon to us. This is what Rabbi Shimon meant. He says, Rabbeisai, learn my Torah. Midoisai, trumas, me trumas, me the Shor of Kiva. I devoted my life to bringing Rabbi Akiva to your table, to making you have a shaychus with this deep Torah called the Zayir. What are we supposed to get from this? We're not here, we're not wearing all white, right? Real Mekubalim actually don't do that. If you go to Miron and see people who are wearing all white, do not get a bracha from them, whatever you do. I learned this the hard way. You know, when I was your age, I was looking for everyone who was like, like spooky as can be. Stay away from spooky people. Spooky people are spooky, they're not Mekubalim. What is this? What does this have to do with me? Why am I having this a yontif, to roast marshmallows in a fire? What does it have to do with me? What does this have to do with me? And here we come to understanding the Yisoid Hadvarim is an appreciation of mitzvahs. Let's understand. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, he asked this question, not me. In the end of Shar Aleph, he says, Umi shezichoy yisbarach shemoy lahasig nistaris. Whoever zochet to understand the secrets of the Torah that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai brought down from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Asher Yishilon and Bracha Kadisha Elion Chachmei Talmud Kigon Reb Shimon Bar Yochai VeChaver VeTalmidav Vishes Shosin Meima Bedaris Achronim Harizal Hakadosh. From Reb Shimon all the way to the Ari, Asher Hey Iru Einenu Bixas Tami VeKavanas Mitzvahs. They gave us a drop of understanding of the mitzvahs that we're doing. Who Rak Kadesh Yisboinin Kolecha VeFisichlo VaSagaso. It's just so that we could contemplate Ad Heichan Magim Kol Prate Masav VeDibur Machshavayis VeKol Inyan BaOlamas. To understand how much our actions that we do ascend to higher places. They don't just stop down here. They go up and up and up. everything that we do. V'yispol v'yisaron, a person should be affected by this. La'asoy selekayim kol mitzvah, and avoid the baro b'tachlis adikta. A person sees this and understands how great and complex the mitzvos are. Then they say, this is something. Every mitzvah that I'm doing is special. It's not just the pshat. You can learn the whole Masechta Sukkah, Rav Ossai, and not scratch the surface of the secrets of the sitting in the sukkah. You can learn all about Lulav and Esrog and not scratch the surface. You know how small our Torah would be if we understood every part of it? We don't understand any of our Torah, Rav Ossai. None of it. Nothing. And if it wasn't for Reb Shimon, you would think that the Torah is as tiny as you. Can I ask you a few questions? I want to ask you a few questions about mitzvahs. Let's see if we understand mitzvahs, okay? Just a few harmless questions. Because after all, David HaMelech says this earlier. He says, L'chol tichla reisi keitz, I've seen everything have a limit. Rechova mitzvascha ma'oid. Your mitzvahs go on and on. Says Rashi, everything has a limit. And I can see the end of it. Says, at least in my seichel, I can see that universes end and this ends and that ends. He says, but when it comes to your Torah, I can't understand. Your mitzvahs have no end. Ein imodi lovoy adsoif tachlis mistaira. I can't go far enough to even fathom the end of the secrets of your Torah. I understand a lot. You understand a lot? I understand a lot? Let's try, okay? Why do we pick up a lulav and esrog? I hope that nobody takes this the wrong way, that I'm going to try to show this. I hope that this is not irresponsible. Why do we pick up a lulav and esrog? I know. Okay, why? Fine. See what he has to say. He says, because there are different people in Klal Yisrael, and the Arava doesn't have a taste or smell, and the Tzaddik is the esrog. Beautiful. Beautiful. Can I ask you a question? Why do you take a tzaddik and compare him to a lemon? And why do you have to squeeze them together? Why don't you just draw a picture of people? Why don't you have a kumzit with a mediocre guy, a nice guy, you know, somebody who's tasteless, somebody who's a tzaddik, and so and make a little rikud. Why are you taking branches? What are you doing, Bukhla? Right? Matzah. Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah? What do you mean? It's a lechem oni. We were impoverished and enslaved, and we were taken out of Egypt. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen a brisker eat matzah? Okay, here's what happens. They're lying like this, okay, and they're doubling up shiurim. They got a stopwatch that's going for through the yontif, and then you ask them, "What are you doing?" Do you understand that? Does that make any sense to you? Imagine if on Thanksgiving, right? We don't celebrate that, but imagine we go to a guy's house and they're celebrating Thanksgiving, right? And Thanksgiving, turkey, right? Why turkey? Pilgrims, Rav Ossai. Pilgrims, right? Cranberries. Imagine this guy's father is being Mechalik Kizesim and they're doing Kairich with cranberries. You think they're nuts? And they say, freedom, America. Do we know anything that we're doing? We don't know anything about anything about anything. Rav Yerucham says in Das Torah, Das Chochma Musar, Tachlis HaYidia HaYidia. The only person who understands anything is someone who knows he knows nothing. He knows nothing. He's faced with something that somehow gives him eternity. And he has no idea what's going on. He has no idea, but he knows there's a secret behind all of this. There's a sod. There's a secret. And he knows he's involved in something that's shaykh to places that he can't imagine. That's what Reb Shimon brought to us. Reb Shimon gave us a peek at what we're doing, at what's happening. And the Zohar says that Reb Shimon's Sefer, the Zohar, will bring us to Mashiach. Do you know why? Because with all the tininess, I was just in Manhattan. You walk around Manhattan, you're like, it's overwhelming how many people there are. It's just, and they're not you, and they're not, they don't even know any, they don't even know Me'emesai Kernes Krishva. Okay, they're Goyim, but they're Amaratzim too. They don't know anything. It's like, wow, why did Hashem create all these people? And you're like walking. It's overwhelming. But there's a secret. They don't have the secret. They don't know. They don't understand. There's a secret to all this. It's all hidden. It's all inaccessible. They're running around like hamsters in a wheel. There's a secret. Reb Shimon was Megala. There's a secret. And it doesn't matter if you know the secret. You don't have to know the secret. You have to know there is. You have to know that what you're doing has so much more meaning than you could possibly ever imagine. And that's what we're doing on Lag BaOmer, Rabosai. There's a fire. The fire, if we would go in there, we'd disintegrate. If we took a trip up to Pardes, and we would go up there to the secrets of the Torah, we would disintegrate. Just like people who are a billion times greater than us disintegrated. But you know what? We can go around the fire and enjoy the warmth. There's a fire. We're so happy there's a fire. There's a fire! Torah is bigger than us. We can't jump in there, but we can dance around it. It's part of our lives. We're tapped into something that's greater than we could ever imagine. And that makes us shaykh to the fire. And I wanted to say an enormous chiddush based on this. Enormous, based on last week. Last week, we said, Nasa v'nishma. Rashi says, what's the greatness of Nasa v'nishma? That we trusted Hashem that we could handle it. All the mitzvos, as hard as it might seem, we can handle it. We trust Hashem would never give us something that we can't handle. And then people came over to me and asked me a question after this year. You know those nudniks who ask those questions. And they asked the question, wait a second though, doesn't it also say that Hashem forced us into this? Kafa aleim harka gigas. So I told them like a good diplomat, it's not a kasha on me. Taisus asked the kasha. Leave me be. Right? And then I ran home. Right? Taisus asked the kasha. But let me explain something to you. I don't understand Taisus' answer. At least I didn't understand Taisus' answer. Taisus says the following. He says, really, Klal Yisrael said, Nah, Seven Mishma, Hashem, we trust you. Even if we don't understand if we can handle all of these mitzvahs and all of your Torah, we're going with you. Says Tosfos, but Hashem was nervous they were going to back out because they would see an Eish Gadol, a huge fire at Har Sinai. And that was Yatzah Nishmasam. Their neshamas were popping up. Run away! I don't understand. Last week we just spoke about these people. They were going to say Nasa. They said Nasa v'nishma. They can't handle a little spooky fire. So what? It's Hashem. They trust in Hashem. Why did Hashem Kilu make it that they can't mess up? Let them go. They're going to go. They're going to do it. No. Pshat is like this. They wanted to do the mitzvahs like me and you. Shake a lulav, give tzedakah, right? But there's something that's a fire. And that fire, no one can make it out of that fire. It's too big. It's the end of what I do. Every time I put stucca in a box, it goes like this. Climbs up the stairs and it generates a huge fire. Every time I shake a lulav, every time I give someone chizuk, every time I cheer somebody up with a good joke, it creates a fire. And you can't live in that fire. At Har Sinai, Hashem showed us the Eish. And he thought that we would be scared to think that we have to live in that fire. We don't have to live in that fire. We have to dance around that fire. We just have to enjoy the warmth of that fire. Klal Yisrael was makabel to live with the Torah. And Borei Olam tapped us into eternity. He tapped us into a tremendous chiyus. And just to end with a great idea from the Mekubalim. Tonight is Hoyd Shebehoyd. Hoyd Shebehoyd. What does this mean? We don't know what any of these things mean. But Kibalti Mirabosai the following thing. Hoyd Behoyd is the following. Hoyd doesn't just mean glory. Hoyd means to admit. To be totally maskim. Like a Hodas Baldin. Someone who says, you're right, I give up. That's it, I surrender. Hoyd Shebehoyd is the ultimate pure, not from concentrate, admitting. Because it's a hoid in a hoid. It's a double hoid. It's a total admission. It's not mixed with anything else. I am totally admitting. What am I admitting on Lag BaOmer? On Lag BaOmer, I'm admitting the world is being ignited. The fire is great. It's illuminated. The or, the raz, the secret is out. And I realize every goy is a behema. And every yid who learns Torah, who does every mitzvah, is shayach to an or gadol. And everyone else is wasting their times in olam hazeh. And I'm moving towards olam haba. I'm somebody who's generating something with my life. It's totally clear to me on Lag BaOmer. Reb Shimon, at the day of Misa on Lag BaOmer, which was the pinnacle of his giluyim, was megala the Idris, was megala all of the things that he wasn't capable in his life. And once that entered the world, there's a certain clarity. And even if we're not oisek in his inyanim, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything he's working to do is explain what I'm doing. To explain my shaking the lulav. To explain my davening. Even when I space out in a davening, I totally space out. The Nefesh HaChaim says, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, that there will never be a Shmona Esrei that fixes as much things as this Shmona Esrei. It will never be replaced. Every day, this Shmona Esrei, whether I like it or not, will fix something that since the beginning of creation never was able to be achieved. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not in charge. That's what Shmona Esrei is. Rabbi Shimon says this. You can know this and feel the romulus of attaching yourself to it. I don't know why, how it's fixing every world and doing this only on this day and it'll never happen again. It doesn't matter to me. It matters that this is an explanation of how deep everything is. We'll find out. The Goyin says, Basoif, everybody's going to know the Pnimiyas HaTorah. We're going to understand all of the things we're doing. We're going to be zoicha to these giluyim. We're going to be zoicha to see the tifkeit of everything we generated. We should all be zoicha to be makabel this or gadol. And there's a tremendous sakana. Every davar shebekdusha, the way the tumah works, tumah only exists if it latches onto something kaddish. If it can grab it and get a chiyas. So all davar tameis love kedusha. And the way it works in Meiron is exactly like it works in the Svarim HaKadoshim. There's an epicenter, there's a middle, where there's Kedusha. And then around it is all the Kochos HaTumah, who are trying to be Yoinik, the Kedusha of Reb Shimon, because they know that they're toasted on Lag Vomer, and they're panicking. And all the Kochos HaTumah try to get towards the mountain. They're all trying to get there. People could do Averis that they never imagined on Lag Vomer, from the Kochos HaTumah. And the key is to run right into the middle. Kedai l'smeichel Reb Shimon b'shas adchak. A person has to charge up the mountain. Don't look left. Don't look right. Doesn't matter. Your cousin hasn't seen you saying, "Stark, look at me." Don't go straight up to that mountain, to the top, and then Reb Shimon will help you. He'll be a shliach. Kedai l'smeichel Reb Shimon b'shas adchak. He'll be a shliach to give you or to give you light, to clarify the situations in your life. To be a light at the end of the tunnel, to let you see that light. We should all be zeicha to this Or Gadol.